Blog Talk Radio.
Iverson has Jordan. The crowd is into it. Allen chase break. Gets two. Mike says no. Allen says yes. The bucket. The crowd loves it.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Snatchback Podcast. This is your host, man, Arden Franklin. I hope it's been a good week for you. You know, this week, definitely some struggles here and there, but in general, I can't complain, man. And even today, you know, today was pretty good. You know, it's played some ball this morning, you know, trying to be active. So over the last couple of months, I've been pretty successful at that. And I'm actually going to touch on playing basketball in a couple of minutes and play some basketball. Some of you guys may know too. Of course, I also talk a lot of football, and I have my own Tumblr blog, which you can check out at ardenlovesports.tumblr.com. The link is in the description below. And as an amateur draft scout studying guy, so I'm almost at the end, man. I'm studying the safety class. I'm 6 deep right now, studying about 8 guys. And as soon as I get my rankings done on them, I'm gonna try to write them on Sunday. Then I can focus on the big board and, you know, mock drafts and stuff. But in general, man, it's been a pretty good week. Another good week in basketball, by the way, you know, in the NBA, college basketball, of course, national championship game, guys now declaring for the draft and stuff. But like I mentioned beforehand, I played some basketball this morning, man, and I'm at the point in my life where I'm a young dude. I'm 21 going on 22, but I'm at the point in my life where I do a lot more talking and teaching basketball than I do playing it. But let me tell you something, man. When I was playing this morning, I actually felt okay. Like, this was like the first time and maybe in a long time that in recent games that I've played, and I basically play every couple to a few months now, I didn't feel rusty. You know, I didn't feel rusty. I didn't feel uncomfortable. I just felt a little more out of rhythm, if that makes sense. And if you don't understand that, it's basically like, rusty for me is, you know, when it comes to ball handling, because when I'm really playing a lot, my ball handle is on point. I could do moves for days, and I could do a lot of things with the ball. When I'm rusty, I can't do none of the things that I do when I'm playing often to when I'm playing for the first time in a long time. I really don't have a handle. My jump shot looks ugly, which means it's not going in. You know, at times I feel winded. So basically, I'm just really working my way back. But today, it was really not even just day. It was the day along with the last couple games I've been playing. I've just been a little out of rhythm, man. Like, when I shoot the ball feels good coming out of my hands. I make my jumper at times. You know, my handle's still there, not at the point where I can do a lot of stuff that I do when I'm playing a lot. But I can still do some moves here and there. It was just I was out of rhythm a little bit. You know, I was just out of rhythm a bit. But the more shots I took, eventually I got more comfortable and I started getting mine. But so, yeah, man, I was just a little more out of rhythm than rusty. You know, I think that's really best for you. If you're somebody who's a little out of rhythm compared to being rusty, then you're good to go, because you don't want to be rusty when you're playing basketball, because you are a non-factor when you're rusty. Trust me, I know. I've had my times where I've been rusty. But as of late, I've been a little out of rhythm. And you know what? I'm not going to complain about that. I'm going to try to play some ball maybe again next week. You know, I try to get in the gym more. Like, I try to lift more. Like, that's my thing right now, just getting in the gym, lifting. So I rarely play basketball like that. Like I said before, I do a lot more talking and teaching basketball than I do playing it. But it feels good to play again, man, especially talking about a sport that's been a big part of my life. And I told you guys this on the first episode of this podcast, that even though football is my favorite sport now, favorite sport to talk about, to play and watch, basketball is my first love, man. Basketball is my first sport going back to the age of 4. So even with football being the number one sport in my life, basketball still has a very special place in my heart, and I never have a problem talking about it, playing it, or coaching it. So, but shout out to the dudes I was playing pickup with this morning. You know, wish the games went a little faster, man. That's the thing about playing with older dudes, my dude. Like, there is no such thing as a fast break. they don't even check it up quick enough, man. Dudes got to eliminate the fast break or the check up. You can't check it up real quickly because they want to catch their breath and make sure everybody's in line. But it's all right, though. It's all good. But let's talk some NBA real quick because, of course, that's what really is like the epic center of the basketball world, the NBA. And yesterday I was tweeting. Remember that. Also, please follow me on Twitter at Artist Sports Talk. And I was tweeting yesterday about LeBron's chance to win MVP and really why he won't win an MVP again. Not only this year, but again, because I think what has hurt LeBron James' chances of winning the award is his standards. I don't think anything else has affected his chances to win the award other than his standards. I know you can say, well, LeBron took a two-week shot. I know my boy Jason, shout out to him. He said, oh, LeBron took a two-week vacation. You know, people have been saying that, but I don't think that's enough. I think people get on that more because it's LeBron. Like, if there was any other player that says, hey, man, 2 weeks off, need to rest my body, and he did it at that particular time in January when it's still, like, the first half of the season and the games aren't that important yet. Like, they have value, but it's not that important. People are like, oh, okay, it's all right, you know. But it's LeBron, so people get on him for that. But I was talking to him about this, and I was just saying, in general, it's really his standard that's hurt his chances. Because let's think about it, though. People look at LeBron's season like it's a down year, as if it's okay, like it's not impressive. Like, dude, LeBron James is averaging 25.7 assists and 6 rebounds, shooting close to 50% from the field, okay, close to 35% from three, all right? Like, when he came back from the injuries, the Cavaliers have basically been 31-8 since his return. They were a game below 500, and now they're the second seed in the East, 50-plus wins. Like, what do you mean, like, this is a down year for LeBron, or LeBron should be in the MVP discussion? And that's why I've been saying it's the standards that he has, you know, because if we're really being honest here, okay, if we're really being honest and you're somebody whose definition of the MVP award just isn't, well, the best player on the best team gets it, and you're not providing any context to it, you know that by watching LeBron play, there's a lot of things that he adds to this Cavaliers team. There's certain things that he brings to the table. People bring up, well, he's playing with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, and they bring up Mozgov and J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert. Okay, I get it. Those guys can play. But yet, without LeBron, they went 2-9, okay? And they've had some embarrassing losses without him, you know? So even with talent like that, how come they're 2-9 without LeBron James? Because what LeBron brings to the table is a lot of things that even go beyond just that. It goes beyond even just basketball. It's about leadership. It's about emotional stability in itself. And that's why I said it's the standards that hurt him. Because for people to look at LeBron James this season and look at 25-7-6 and 50-plus wins and the second seed in the East, regardless of what your opinion is on that conference, and to go, nah, that's not worthy of an MVP, you know, case, that's crazy to me. It really is, because I know for a fact, if there was any other player that you put in LeBron's spot and they're not LeBron James, they're in the conversation for MVP. And again, this is not even about winning the award, because my MVP pick before the season, during the season, and still is Steph Curry. So this is not, don't confuse me as a LeBron MVP supporter. All I've been saying is LeBron has a case for winning it. He should be in the discussion. Don't try to use 2 weeks off against him. Don't try to use these numbers against him and because of your standards for him, okay? When LeBron basically averaging similar numbers to James Harden, similar to a Russell Westbrook. I'm not saying the same, but similar, because when you look at the differences in points, rebounds, and assists, it's really a 1 to 2 point difference. So that deserves a similar, you know, game tag. To me, it's just crazy, man, to think his standards of a dude averaging 25-7-6, not in the discussion. And even then, I'm going to be real with you. I know Russell Westbrook's not going to win MVP, but the fact that he was in the discussion more than LeBron baffles me. Because truth be told, if we're really looking at, okay, what really makes MVP? Who should really be in the discussion? besides numbers, besides triple-doubles, what does Russell Westbrook do that makes him more valuable than LeBron James? What does he really do? You guys just look at the numbers and you see the highlights, but if we go deeper than this, what makes Russell Westbrook more valuable than LeBron James? Tell me. What makes him more valuable? If he was as valuable as LeBron, would Oklahoma City be ninth in the West? I get it. It's the Western Conference. But the New Orleans Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns are who they're battling for eighth, okay? Oklahoma City, without Durant, all they do is beat up on the bad teams, but they're winless against the good teams. And I even told dude this from the jump. As soon as I saw Westbrook get serious MVP serious MVP hype, I said it from the very beginning. What Durant did last year without him is going to hurt him because it's too much. We're looking at Westbrook right now, and you start to see more and more people, when they don't get caught up in just numbers and just highlights, and you're really watching the game and taking it in, you're really going, well, what is it that he's really doing? Okay, I get it. He's exciting. He has highlights. He fills up the stat sheet. But what is he really doing that proves valuable? You know, that proves, oh, he's a top three MVP candidate. You know, oh, he should get the consideration to win the award. What is he really doing? Who is he making better out there on the floor? How is he utilizing them? Do they struggle considerably without him? You can make the case for the other three, but Westbrook, I just didn't get it. And again, to go back to my Durant point, Durant without Westbrook last season for 27 games went 20-7 without him. They went, I believe, 11-6 versus above 500 teams. Some good teams. They beat Miami. They beat Memphis, Portland, San Antonio. They were beating good teams, bro. Toronto. They were beating some good teams. 20-7 en route to winning, what was it, 59 games and clinching a top two seed in the Western Conference? And yet you guys want to give consideration to a guy whose team barely is in the playoff race for eighth? I get it. It's the West. But still, New Orleans and Phoenix are who they're battling. They're winless against them. They're winless against 500 and over teams. Winless. Again, it comes down to standards, man. It comes down to standards and it comes down to voter fatigue. And it comes down to the fact that just like with the NFL MVP award, in which they try to find guys who they can vote for just so they don't vote for the quarterback, it comes down to the fact that they want an out. That's what it is. Voter fatigue is another way of saying we're sick of voting for this guy because he really fits the criteria for the award and he always has standout after standout cases, so we're going to vote for another guy who gives us that excuse. I'm telling you, the only way LeBron can win MVP again in the near future, he's going to need to have a crazy season. A crazy season. I'm talking at least 37-7. Cavs going to have to win 65-plus games, or 60 games at least. But even now, I'm not even sure of that because you guys are going to find a reason to try to not give him the award. It's the standards, man. Standards and voter fatigue is why you guys don't want to vote for LeBron James. It's obvious. It really is, but you know what? It's all good. Another thing that was on my mind yesterday, too, man, which is I was watching the starters on NBA TV. They were talking about who should make an All-NBA team. And as some of you may know or don't know, the All-NBA team is an award that's split among three teams. So you got the first team, which is, like, the best of the best. Then you got the second team, second best. Third team, third best. So I was watching them, and I got to thinking, like, which guys should, you know, be in there? And I made my own All-NBA teams, and I know there's certain rules and stuff to it, like you got to have two guards and you got to have two forwards and a center. Look, I just gave it to guys who I really felt like should be on the teams. So I'm going to start off with my All-NBA third team. At point guard, I have Kyrie Irving. At shooting guard, I have Jimmy Butler. At small forward, I have Kawhi Leonard. Power forward, Pau Gasol. And center, Tim Duncan. I think that's a very accurate list. I'm going to be real with you. I think that's incredibly fair, and I think that makes sense. Kyrie Irving, without question, has been the best point guard in the East since the new year. Kyrie Irving, despite playing with LeBron James, Kevin Love, despite playing under new expectations, spotlight on him brighter than ever, he's still doing his thing and he's still gotten better, okay? Not to mention, in some of those big-time games, you've seen what he can do. 55 versus Portland, 57 versus San Antonio in San Antonio. Shooting guard, Jimmy Butler is a no-brainer for me. It's a no-brainer. You got to put Jimmy Butler in there. Close to 20 points a game, one of the premier defenders. Kawhi Leonard, let me tell you something. Kawhi Leonard is a game changer. And I think there's nothing scarier in the league right now, and that includes LeBron, and I'm being completely serious here. There's nothing scarier in the league right now than a Kawhi Leonard who's aggressive on offense and doing his thing on that side. Because you know what he can do defensively. But offense, come on, man. If the Spurs ran more of the offense through him and Nate and Pop basically said, hey, man, do your thing, go ahead and cook, there'll be a premier 18 to 22-point score in this league. So he'll be getting a lot of all-NBA second or third teams along with some defensive team honors. So watch out for Kawhi Leonard. Pau Gasol and Tim Duncan for the third team is obvious to me. You got to put those guys in there, viable to what they do, still very skilled and the stats proven. My all-NBA second team, this one was easy for me. Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Marc Gasol. I know what you're thinking. Arden, you said you're going to do two guards, two forwards, and a center. Klay Thompson is a guard, not a small forward. You're right, but guess what? I had a hard time with this one. I had a hard time just because Westbrook definitely deserves an honor, just like Chris Paul deserves an honor, okay? Which means if I had to follow the rules, Paul or Westbrook won't be in the backcourt for the All-NBA second team, which means I would have to find another small forward worthy of it. And let's be real. I mean, I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, besides LeBron, besides Kawhi Leonard, who else? Like, what other small forward is deserving of that spot? Rudy Gay or somebody? Like, a small forward position outside of a few guys isn't that impressive. Not to mention, you know, Kevin Durant been injured all year. So I had to put Klay Thompson in there. And LaMarcus Aldridge and Marc Gasol, those are easy, I think. I know some people are looking at maybe Blake Griffin, but nah, Blake Griffin this year, I mean, 22-8, I did it, improved this offensive game, and trust me, I am a big Blake Griffin fan. I am a big Blake Griffin fan. I love Blake. That's my guy. Defended him on many occasions, but he hasn't been better than LaMarcus Aldridge or Marc Gasol, even though Marc Gasol and the Grizzlies, they've been having their struggles of late. So that was my All-NBA second team. My All-NBA first team was incredibly easy to make. Point guard, Steph Curry. Shooting guard, James Harden. Small forward, LeBron James. Power forward, Anthony Davis. And center, my boy, Boogie! Boogie Cousins, ladies and gentlemen. Obvious. And the reason why it's easy to put Boogie there is because when you think about these All-NBA teams, it really comes down to the players who are the best players in the league. Like, okay, there's considerations to what their team has done, okay? But at the same time, I also think it also comes down to which players are truly the best in the league. So if that's the case, then I'm going to put Boogie, because Boogie is considered the best center in the league right now, okay? What Boogie has? 24-12, 24-10? I understand he's in Sacramento, they're losing, I get it, but still, my dude, I'm not robbing Boogie of an all-NBA team spot, especially first. He deserves that. We already know Steph Curry this year, arguably the best point guard in the league. James Harden this season, best shooting guard. LeBron, you already know he's going to have that small forward position on lock unless Kevin Durant comes back healthy and better than ever. Kawhi Leonard and a couple of years can challenge that. Anthony Davis, that dude. And like I said on my radio show on Wednesday, I want to see Anthony Davis and the Pelicans in the playoffs, bro. I got to see it. I understand some of you out there want the Thunder, but you want to see Westbrook and you want to see the highlights in the triple-double. It's fun watching Anthony Davis, okay? And again, we're in a time in the NBA right now where a lot of our young talent, we won't be able to see until their primes of their careers, in which their teams either gotten better or they're left. And truth be told, I miss the mid-2000s or early 2000s or just the last maybe prior to 2010, where the 20 to 30s beforehand, we saw the greats at a very young age play in the playoffs and do their thing and make their name. You understand what I'm saying? Think about last year. Name a young player who really benefited from that postseason exposure. Kawhi Leonard's one, but Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard benefited like crazy from playing in the playoffs, considering the series that he had versus Houston, you know, in the game winner in game six. So it's certain things like that where I say I miss the young players playing in the playoffs. I want to see these guys back. That's why I want to see Anthony Davis, because, again, it's another opportunity for him to build his name up. Great opportunity. Think about what it would have been like if we wasn't able to see Kobe Bryant at 17, 18 not playing in the playoffs, or Shaq, or Michael, or Magic, or Bird, you know, or Tim Duncan, or LeBron now, or Dwayne Wade, or Carmelo. Like, a lot of the best players in the league now are legends beforehand. We were able to see play in the playoffs at an extremely young age, and they built their name, built their reputation. I don't want to see guys like Anthony Davis or Andrew Wiggins and DeMarcus Cousins. We're going to have to wait, if these guys don't make the playoffs this year, one of them, Anthony Davis, at least another 2 to 4 years before we see them in the playoffs. I don't want to see that. I want to see the young talent go in there, man, make their name. I get it. It's a tough matchup. You're going to go against Golden State. You're probably going to lose. But I want to see Anthony Davis in the postseason along with the Pelicans. You can always watch Russell Westbrook highlights on YouTube. It's not that hard. Speaking of the playoffs, which start next weekend, thank God. And again, this is another reminder that, ladies and gentlemen, the NBA regular season has to be cut short. It really has to, man. 82 games is too much. Nobody's watching 82 games of basketball, my dude. It's not, okay? Should be shortened. 66 to 70 games is more than good enough for the league. Still get your advertising money. Still get your ticket money. Still have your days in which people are watching, you know. And you don't need 82 games, man. You really don't need 82 games. But the playoffs are approaching, and as of right now, we have certain matchups that I believe will probably be locked in. I mean, I know in the West, the playoff pitch is, like, very fluid right now. And I think it's, like, a half-game difference between the second and sixth seed, but it can always change up. But just to give you a couple of examples, not even a couple, a few examples. If the playoffs started today in the Eastern Conference, the Atlanta Hawks, who are number one, would face the Brooklyn Nets, who are eighth. My Cavaliers, number two, would face Boston, who are seventh. Toronto, at three, would face Milwaukee, at six. Let's look at the West. Golden State, number one seed, would face New Orleans, eighth. Memphis, at number two, would face Dallas, at seventh. When I think about some of these matchups, for one, I would not have a problem with seeing Golden State, New Orleans, like I mentioned. And when I look east and I see the Cavaliers-Boston matchup, that's an intriguing matchup just because when you look at the regular season series between the Cavs and the Celtics, both teams never really played each other at full strength. But when they did, the Cavaliers absolutely kicked their butt in March by 31 points. Okay, first game, Cavs won by one in Boston, but talking about way early in the season, two completely different teams. Last night's game in which Boston won, the Cavaliers are clearly on a play guys on in limited minutes so they can prepare for the playoffs type of plan. LeBron only played 26 minutes last night. We all know LeBron usually plays 38 to 40. But when I look at some of these other matchups, San Antonio versus Houston would be a big series in the first round because James Harden, ladies and gentlemen, like I've said before, he has the most pressure out of a lot of NBA players today in terms of the playoffs. He has to get it done. Like, I checked his stats last night. He's averaging, like, 25, 6, and 7. But he's shooting below 40% from the field. Not to mention we remember the fact that he disappeared in the NBA Finals 3 years ago. We haven't forgot that, James. So he has to get back at that. Rockets are only going as far as Dwight Howard could take him. That's right. D12, Superman, the center that you guys love to hate on Twitter. The Rockets are only going as far as Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard has been a beast in the postseason in recent years, 25-plus, 12-plus. But speaking of Brooklyn, let me just give a huge salute to that guy, Brooke Lopez, who, even though people get on him, not averaging enough rebounds or staying healthy, let me say, the guy has been big time since March. You look at Brook Lopez's numbers since March, he's averaging at least 20 points a game and at least 9 rebounds a game, and he's expected to be a free agent this summer if he opts out. Let me tell you something about Brook Lopez. I get it. He has an injury history. Last couple of years hasn't been nice to him in terms of injuries with the foot. I get it. It's very scary to think about foot injuries with these bigs these days. We all remember what happened to Bill Walton and others. But anytime you have a player that could get you at least 18 points per game, okay, 7 foot, has a legit post game, you got to take a chance on him. And I actually been watching Brook Lopez very closely. Brook, since like March 21st, been getting 30 and 10 in multiple games, dude. You just don't sleep on that. And truth be told, if the Cavaliers are playing their guys in limited minutes to, let's say, secure Boston as a matchup than Brooklyn, I can't blame them. I really can't, because even though the Cavaliers will beat Brooklyn in the playoffs, Brooklyn will give the Cavs a tough 5-6-game series. Boston, on the other hand, that's light work. That's an easy 4 games. So if Boston can't match up the Cavaliers if they play right, Brook Lopez, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson and the crew, they will give them a tough 5-6-game series. And when you look at Brook Lopez's injury history, like I said, I get it. Season 4 this year, only played 17 games. The lockout year, only played 5 games. But he has 3 years that he played an entire 82-game season. The year after he played 5 games, he played 74 games. This season, he's played 69. So the guy, for his career, has been relatively healthy. If you do research in terms of finding a percentage of the time Brook Lopez has been available in his NBA career, he's been available 91% of the time. And if you want to do the math in terms of, okay, let's add all 82-game seasons in his career, including the lockout, Brook Lopez will still be available 67% of the time. That's not bad. So either way, man, I just want to say salute to Brook Lopez for his excellent play. If they make the playoffs, it's going to be fun watching them. He's definitely going to have his offers. But other than that, that is the second episode of the Snatchback Podcast. Thank you for listening. Like I told you guys before, I'm recording it every Saturday, releasing it every Sunday. Enjoy these final few games in the postseason. Well, regular season. To get ready for the postseason, you can already tell I'm ready for the postseason because I just said postseason, so the regular season. And please remember, man, I have a lot of stuff coming out on my Tumblr. It's in the description below. I'm probably going to try to have a nice playoff special next week, try to get a couple guests, depending on their schedule and whatnot. But you already know I'm going to be here. But remember the key points from this episode. LeBron James standards have hurt his MVP chances more than the 2-week vacation. Pick up basketball. Don't play with older men who don't run fast breaks. Play with guys who like to run fast breaks. There's a difference between being rusty and out of rhythm. I was out of rhythm, but I've still got my buckets this morning at the New York Sports Club. And please pay attention to Brook Lopez and the Brooklyn Nets. Other than that, that's the episode. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. Peace.